All right. I'm so glad to see all of you tonight. It's really great to have you all out and take the time. And we're just going to open up in a word of prayer, and we'll just start from there. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your love and patience and guidance, Lord. We just love you so much, Lord. We thank you most of all for your love of dying on the cross for us and saving us, Lord. And tonight we just pray that you help me speak your word, Lord, and in an honorable way, in a way that's upright, Lord. You know I'm tired today, Lord, and I just ask for strength, Lord, as we deliberate about the Word of God, Lord, and discuss it. We thank you that we can do it so openly, Lord, and we just thank you so much for your love. We just pray for your guidance in your precious name. Amen. So I thought first what we'll do is just give you a little update of what's been going on in Everyday Publications and get you a little feel for a little bit from a day-to-day of what goes on and little things like that. So the year is 2009. And time really flies. Went down there in November of 06, and so now we're in year 09. Everyday Publications is a faith-based ministry. Our ministry is to print books about the Bible. The main goal is to have commentaries printed in everyday English or the foreign language of their nationality, to be able to read the scriptures. As the Lord provides, we send with the biblical materials that will hopefully, Lord willing, build up the saints so they can preach the gospel more effectively. The languages that we have is a number of them. Is English, Swahili, Portuguese, Spanish, French, Mandarin, and Arabic. Currently, there is a prayer request. We don't actually have an Arabic book yet in print. The lady who is working on printing to translating the first Arabic book right now is finding time pressure. So she's finding that she doesn't have the time to translate. We had an email from Israel, from the Arab Brethren in Nazareth, from the assemblies there, looking and praying about getting biblical materials in Arabic, because it's one of the areas that there isn't a whole lot. So you can consider praying about that particular ministry that the Lord would bring up, translators in Arabic. The DR Congo container, number 2. This is our second container that we've sent out to the DR Congo. In-house, we printed 75,000 books right in Port Corbin. And 21,000 books were printed off-site because we got better economical prices for the large volumes. 6,000 of these books were the new Swahili hymn book. And this is the DR Congo Swahili. There are over 200 assemblies in just the northeast DR Congo. And the number of Bible schools in the DR Congo are looking to rebuild their libraries due to the recent 10-year war, which is all civil wars. This is just a picture of the Congo container all filled up in the back of the warehouse there. So altogether, it was 96,000 titles that were shipped to the northeast DR Congo. The shipment was placed on hold due to more internal fighting in the northeast. So we had to place it on hold, and we weren't able to send the shipment until January the 5th, 2005. So we can just praise the Lord that that shipment had went. We had to get a special crane to lift up the shipment, because it's so heavy, I couldn't lift it. So the shipment went, and went from Port Corbin to Brampton by truck, from Brampton to Montreal by train, from Montreal to Antwerp, Belgium, by ship, Antwerp to Salam Oman by ship, and Salam to Bansa in Kenya, and Bansa to Kambola in Uganda by truck, and Uganda to Bunia to DR. So it went all the way from the Atlantic Ocean, Mediterranean Sea, Indian Ocean, and all the way down to the Congo. And there it is. We made it to Africa. So we're really thrilled to see that happening. Those are some of the commended workers down there unloading the shipment there. Those are national workers down in the Congo. And we have purchased a new stapler. This is the old stapler left. The old stapler would, you put the book in, staples it and fold it and it comes out. But when it was coming out, it was all bouncy. It wasn't folding it properly. So the Lord took care of that and provided this new refurbished stapler for us. And when you book the booklet in now, it staples it, folds it, and then it has a spine press. So what it does, it squares it off, so now it looks like a full book on your bookshelf, even though it's been stapled and not glued. So this makes a much better quality book, and it really helps with the prison ministry. We, with New Life Prison Ministries, we print off a good chunk of their material, and this book looks much more professional and North American since the prisons are within North America. And the Everyday Publications website, that's currently one of the main focuses that I have at the publication house. Building and maintaining the website. The website has viewers from all over the world now. Before, we weren't getting much hits. Canada's getting lower and lower on the list. A lot of the times it's the European nations now. And a lot of people from Korea, from South Korea, from the churches there. The EPI website now lists all of our titles. So if you ever want to take a look at even some of the foreign titles that we might have, if you know friends you want to witness to that are speaking Spanish, sometimes it's easier to give them a Spanish book and you read the English one and they have the Spanish one. We send books on into Africa, and this is this is the EPI shipment to Africa. We sent books to all different places, different people request it. And so this is just a small bookstore. Now, what it is just a regular store, and they set up a shelf. And what we do is we send these free to Africa, and the people there will sell these books for maybe a couple pennies. So that way, it's not to make profit, but it's to make sure that there's interest, because sometimes you can just hand out free material, and they'll sometimes turn around and do nothing with it. So this way, it shows that there's diligence and the desire to read the material. This is the commended worker in Africa, and a local worker. So he's nationally commended from his home assembly right in Zambia, which is really encouraging to see the national churches working and growing and now sending out some of their own missionaries right in Zambia. We also have some partnerships with MSC. This is the Angola Acts container. In 2008, we printed 92,019 books and test booklets that were sent to Angola. So what we did, we trucked these up to Toronto, and they went into a container, and then MSC Canada took care of shipping that container. And that container also contained more than just books. It contained supplies for Angola. There's also a Zambia container, which we sent 6,000 titles. This is the Congo container in the back there, just getting lined up as we printed and boxed it and taped it. And 4,000 titles were also sent to Southern DR Congo this year through a container in Quebec. Some of the projects we're working on in 09. You can pray about the 10,000 books that are waiting to be shipped to Zambia in April with the new MSC Canada container. And we can also praise the Lord for 8,000 books that are being sent to Kenya and Malawi at this moment. So looking forward to that. And we can pray for the newly typeset Swahili Bible for the DR Congo people. As the Lord provides, we'll be printing the Bible off-site due to cost, so we can do larger volumes at a cheaper price. And we're going to, Lord willing, send one container at a time to the Congo. So we're really looking forward to that, and we're just praying that the Lord continues to open that up. It's typeset and ready to go. It's just a matter of the printing of it. And the Congo really has no books, so it's really encouraging to see the saints get a hold of these materials. So in the last year and a half, we sent 28,000 titles within North America, 12,500 titles to the Europe, 500 titles to Oceania, 1,000 titles to Asia, 13,000 titles to South America, and Africa, 197,000 titles, with a total of 250,000 pieces of literature shipped in the last year and a half. And that says the Lord provided we were able to ship those. So it's a truly blessing to see that happen. This is our Christmas EPI party. I just wanted to kind of give you a feel of, this is some of the different workers there. There's a number of commended workers that work at EPI. There's 9 commended workers. And the rest of the people in those picture is volunteers. They come on a weekly basis to work on the machinery with us. And they volunteer every week for a full day. And you'll notice a lot of them are seniors, and they're working on the machinery to see the Lord's work done. So it's a great blessing to see that happen. And I just wanted to make a note of our newly installed windows in our home. And we're just thrilled about that special gift. And it came at a wonderful time. And we just can't say how much we appreciate it to be able to live in a warmer home. And We noticed already this summer that with the new e-glaze, it's been reflecting a lot of the heat off the house. So it's made a big difference in, for my heart, for the temperature-wise, so it's been great. So I just want to say a special thank you once again for your support and love and what you've done for us. And we just want to say, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for he is truly our God, for his mercy endures forever. So thank you. The Sea of Galilee, the storms of life. Luke 8. Luke 8, 22 to 25. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the waves and the wind and the raging water, and they ceased, and they were calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." Luke. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got in the boat and set out. So they all got in the boat and they all set out to sea. And this is just a sample picture of what one of the little boats would look like back then. And Mark replies, "Leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with them." So it wasn't just them on the sea that day. It was other boats with them out on the sea. So there they go, across in the sea together. And Luke reprised, "As they sailed, he, Jesus, fell asleep." Luke replies, "A squall came down upon the lake." And this is Lake Galilee, as one of the typical squalls are building up over the lake. And Matthew replies, "Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake." Mark, "A furious squall comes up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. The waves swamped over the boat." Great danger. They were afraid at this point. The waves were crashing over the boat. The squalls of life were coming at them. And all they could see were the waves. Their eyes had changed from the Savior. They couldn't see him at this moment. He was laying down on a pillow asleep in the boat. And they were afraid. They cried, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." Matthew said, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." Everyone who's a believer had a moment in their life when they cried this cry. We're going to drown. We're going to go down. We're heading for disaster because we're not saved. We need a Savior, and we need him right now. We're afraid. And so everyone who has cried this would have cried just a simple prayer, "Father, we need you. We're a sinner. We're lost. And we need you in our life and to save us. Save us now." The Lord was always there, though, wasn't he? He was just simply resting. He willed to sleep at that moment. We know he willed to sleep because he would have been wet, he would have been on the pillow, and he would have been being tossed about in the waves. John 10:11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." We know that the Lord cared for his disciples. He was their shepherd. He was there to guide them, just as he is to guide us. He cares for us and loves us. Even though sometimes we think he's asleep or not listening to us or hearing us, he always is there and always caring for us. The cry of the lost. "God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in a lush meadow. You find me, quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me the right direction. Even when the way goes through dark valleys, I am not afraid. When you walk on my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of mine enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessings. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I am back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. The Lord is always with us. He's always blessing us. And many times we don't always see that. Sometimes we're concentrating so much in the waves of life, we don't know the blessings around us that the Lord has promised us. We don't realize in the dark valleys when it feels so dark and desperate, He's always there waiting for us. We just simply have to talk to Him. Sometimes He can feel so far away, but He's always right there. We can lean on Him. We can trust Him. We can always walk with Him. We can always talk with Him. The cry of depression. Master, Master, we're going to drown, Luke replied. Matthew replied, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. But Mark takes another look at it yet. Teacher, don't you care if we drowned? Of course he cares, doesn't he? He did die on the cross for our sins, didn't he? Didn't he save us and redeem us unto himself? Doesn't he care? But sometimes we look around and we say, well, he doesn't care, does he? Our assemblies might be falling apart. Our marriages are hurting, isn't it? Don't we feel pain and suffering? We look around and see the blood-stained people. Don't our hearts cry out for the lost? Don't you care, Lord? But he does care. He truly does. But sometimes it's a matter of faith to know that he does care. Because sometimes we just see the waves and don't realize that he truly cares. Job. Questions to pray. When you look at the life of Job, you can only but feel sorry for him in many ways. He was a man who loved the Lord, who served him diligently, but yet he went through a great tribulation to the point he was almost desperate and alone, cold, and depressed. We see that sometimes Job only seen the waves, but yet he strived to concentrate on the Lord Jesus. Job 3, verse 20. Why is light given to him who suffers, and life to the bitter of the soul who long for death? But there is none, and dig for it more than hidden treasures. Job 10:1. I loathe my very life. Therefore, I will give free rein to my complaint and seek out in the bitterness of my soul. The desperation of Job. He was so sad and so lonely at this point in his life. He was falling into a depression. His friends were not much encouragement, were they? Even his wife. She didn't give him much encouragement. Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden and whom God has hedged in? Job 7:4. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? But the night continues, and I am continually tossing until dawn. My flesh is clothed with worms and crust of dirt. My skin hardens and runs. My days are swifter than a heavier shifter's and come to an end without hope. Job was losing hope. He was falling into desperate depression. And as he looked around, he was just seeing the waves of life around him as things fell apart. But at the end, he says in Job 19:25, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end, he will stand upon the earth. Job knew in the end that God was in the authority and the power. But he did go through times of dark times when he didn't really see God in the way we were supposed to look upon him. But we can take into a fact and learn one thing from Job, that during dark times, we can always pray to the Lord with questions. Job questioned God in a way that was right. He asked God why, and waited for answers until God spoke to him. And he learned from that. And we can learn that too. When times are getting dark and we feel the clouds are coming in, we can simply go in prayer. And in those prayers, we too can ask questions. But we're willing to wait for answers. Don't always jump to conclusions. Take your time and seek God and wait for the answer from Him. We are always free to seek our Heavenly Father. Elijah. If you'd like to turn to 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 19. Excuse me. First Kings 19:3. And when he saw that he arose and ran for his life and went to Sheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. Elijah is running at this point. He had just seen God do great things in his life. He had just seen the ball of fire fall from heaven. And now he's running. He's running from the queen. He started to look around and seen the ways of life again. And he started to slide away from looking at Christ. He had just seen miracles of God. And he didn't have enough faith at that point to see that God could do another miracle and save him from the Queen Jezebel. So here he is fleeing. And he decides to flee alone. So he left his servant there. And verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. As we see here, Elijah, just like Job, has slid into a type of depression. He's lonely, he's sad, and he's anxious, and he doesn't know what to do. So he does the best thing that you could possibly do. He goes somewhere quiet, and he pleads to God. He pleads to God in a way that sometimes we feel is kind of strange. For he says, take my life. But the Lord says, no, I'm not done. I'm not done with you, Elijah. There's still more to do. And so we continue on to verse 10. And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel, and have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And here, Elijah is showing where he is, troubled and anxious. All he can see right now is himself. He can't focus on much else. And so he's sad and depressed. And so he looks to God and said, this is why. I'm the only one left. And the Lord simply says, no, you're not the only one left. I have much to do with you yet. And so down in verse 16, also you shall anoint Judah, the son of Nisha, as king over Israel. Elisha, the son of Zephat, and Abel, and Mol, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. In the verse before, you also see that he is to anoint a king over Syria. So before he's to be done, he has two more kings to anoint, and the next prophet in line. And then the Lord proceeds in verse 18, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. As you see here, the Lord points out to Elijah, you might be discouraged and depressed, but you're not the only one who struggles. I have reserved for myself 7,000 faithful people. These people also have struggles and trials. They were tempted, but they didn't fall into it. They were tempted to the idol worship. They were tempted to fall into covenantness. But they have remained pure to me by trusting me. And you need to trust me too and continue on. You're not the only one. But if you work together with these people, it's much easier to get along and to move on and to stay out of anxiety and depression and issues if we work together in a community to serve the Lord. And David. David went through quite a lifespan. When you read the Bible, it's probably the longest wrote author about different diversities that David went through. He's probably the most human aspect of the Bible when you read it. He went through every possible of joy and sorrow. He went from hill to valley. And he writes in one of his verses, "O Absalom, O Absalom." One of the saddest moments in David's life, as you see, is when he lost his son Absalom. If you turn to Psalm 31. Psalms 31. And verse 9 will start. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eyes waste away with grief, yes, my soul and my body. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. I am reproached among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and I am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me aside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel." David writes this and sees that he's troubled and he's asking the Lord for help. He seeks the Lord's face again. We see how all these men all seek the Lord in times of stress and trouble. And David's in great grief and trouble, and to the extent that his anxiety is actually causing his body to fail, his physical body. In verse 9, "Yes, my soul and my body." So we know that anxiety and issues like that, if we don't go to the Lord, it not only affects our spiritual walk with the Lord, it affects us physically and mentally and emotionally. And we need to go to the Lord and deal with these matters as quickly as possible. And one method that we always see that David turns to is he writes psalms to the Lord. When he's in trouble or struggles, he writes a psalm. And perhaps some of us aren't rhythmic and we can't write a psalm, but one thing that can always give us comfort is to pick up the songs and read them and learn to love them. There is mighty words and give us comfort, right even in our own hymn books or even in the scriptures where you read the psalms and the proverbs. And finally, we speak of Paul. Paul went through many things in his life as well. The struggles to bring the gospel out to the sinful world at that moment, to build the church. And if you wish to turn to Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 2. "I plead with Euda, and I plead with Sarnet to agree with each other in the Lord, yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellows, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness, your sweet reasonableness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Here Paul deals directly with anxiety. He says if you're anxious for this world around you, if these waves are closing in and you feel it coming in, he says go to the Lord with every matter. And he says to go in prayer and petition. Plead with the Lord. Let him know what's going on. And then present it to the Lord with thanksgiving. Be thankful to the Lord for all that you have, even the trials in your life. May it be sickness, may it be struggles that are around you, may it be death. The Lord is always in it in some manner of way. So let the Lord know, and then be thankful. The joy of the Lord is not your circumstances. The joy of the Lord is your salvation and the hope that dwells within you. It has nothing to do with what's happening around. The waves is not belonging to the joy of the Lord. He continues on in verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let the Lord guide your heart. He's the one who can give you peace. And another thing Paul writes in verse 14, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. If you're finding it, that you're sinking in anxiety and you're finding it hard to go to the Lord, then find a Christian who you can go to and seek with them the Lord. Tell them your anxiety, ask them to pray with you, and be guided together, and seek out a solution through Christ Jesus. He's the one who gives true peace, not other people. But here Paul writes that we can share our troubles and our trials with others, so they can also help us along our path. Shalom. Peace be still. Mark, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush now, be still. And the wind ceased and sank to rest as if exhausted by its beating. And there was immediately a great calm, a perfect peacefulness. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you look at all these different men's lives, there was great anxiety and depression in various ways through their lives. Some of them seen it differently, and it might have been harder or less harder for various of these men as they struggle through it. But in the end, as they seek the Lord, they also found the peace that he could give that believer. Our cry doesn't always have to be the salvation cry. That is our first cry. But we can continue to cry to Christ when we are anxious and full of sadness and sorrow and let him know, so that we can continue to live a godly life that is not full of anxiety and not full of the depression, and we can seek to him and live a life of joy in Christ, even though the circumstances around us may not be so joyful. Afraid? Matthew, he replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Mark says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? We don't need to be afraid. We just simply need to trust the Lord and walk in him. He's always with us and always there. And all three of the different disciples who reported on this particular incident all say in a unison, who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. This is Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, the creator of the universe, the one who died in Calvary for our sins. This is who it is. He saved us and redeemed us. Let us cross over to the other side of the lake. What a little line, but yet such emphasis, isn't it? Luke 8:22. The very first the Lord told the disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. It's already been declared. We're going to make it on the other side of the lake. So they didn't need to be afraid in the first place. The Lord had told them right at the very first, we're going to get there. So they never needed to be afraid. And just like us, we don't need to be afraid. We're going to make it. We're going to make it to heaven. Let us cross over together. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's a promise. He's coming again. And receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We're going to make it, brothers and sisters. We just need to simply hang on together. We're a partnership in this. We're an assembly, a local body of believers. We're here to support each other and help each other and to guide each other. And in the end, the Lord promised we will be with them. Let us cross over to the other side of the lake. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your mighty love, Lord. We thank you so much once again for dying on the cross and suffering on the cross, Lord. But we're so thrilled to know that you rose triumphantly, Lord, conquering death for us, Lord, and that one day so soon you will redeem your church into heaven, Lord. We just thank you for that. We look forward to the resurrection of the church. And we just thank you so much, Lord, that you deemed it worthy to save us, Lord. And we just pray as we go out this evening, Lord, that we will be able to place our anxiety, our sadness, our issues upon you, Lord, and let you take those burdens for us so that we can live godly Christian lives day to day, Lord, so that we don't sink into depression and become in a way unusable, Lord, for the ministry. Help us to be strong day to day, Lord, and serve you. Help us to love you and to submit always to your will, Lord, and help us to pick up your word and to study it, and help us to go in a quiet place and to pray and to meditate upon you, Lord, and then listen in a quiet place and wait for your answer. We thank thee, Lord, for your patience with us and your love. We just pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.